All right, tonight we're going to finish up our study in John. So, and again, that's all Lord willing. But if you'd open your Bibles with me to John chapter 21. And so appropriately, as we finish with John, we finish with, as we'll read here in a minute, this question, such a wondrous question, of love. And what's so wonderful is the book of John is the journey to the upper room. We know that. And what those that might not understand that is, it's the journey to Acts. It goes as it sequences here. And we read through John about Jesus and his testimony that he must go. He must ascend to the right hand of the Father. Because if he didn't ascend to the right hand of the Father, he said, I would not be able to send him, send the Holy Ghost. He told those disciples, he's been with you, but he shall be in you. And Jesus told him, you think again, they'd been with him for 3.5 years. And he said, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot understand them. Now, even being with Jesus for 3.5 years, hearing him, seeing him, touching him, eating with him, all of the things that they did, night and day. But he still said, there's many things I want to say, I need to say, you need to hear. But you cannot bear them now. You can't understand them. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost, he will lead you, he will guide you, he will instruct you, he will give you the love to be led into all truth. So we thank God for this. But this is such a wonderful book here, this John, because it is the journey to that upper room where the disciples will receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost so that the love of God would be shed abroad in their hearts. And through that love, they would have the power. Through the love of the Holy Ghost, they would have the passion. Through the love of the Holy Ghost, they would press on and preach and desire to hear the voice and to know the Word of God, all because of love. So with that, let's go ahead and read from the 15th verse of the 21st chapter of John. So when they, the 12th verse. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. See, the Lord knows everything. It really struck Peter. Lord, you know this. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. And he's speaking here to Peter. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Again, that's John here. Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Peter said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth? And said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? See, the Lord, nothing's hard for God. And we'll get into that here in a minute. This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that this his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, here it is. Do you love me? Now, as we begin this, we know that Peter believed that he was the Christ. And notice here, he didn't say to Peter, Peter, do you follow me? Peter, do you work for me? It all comes from love. Peter, do you love me? And this is such a marvelous mining in Peter and obviously in us. Because the Lord is saying here, Peter, do you divinely love me? This word that Jesus is using here when he asks Peter, this word love, it's agape or agapha. That is divine love, the very divine love, the height of God's love. What that means is first love. Am I your first love? This is the love wherewith we are loved. And what Peter is being asked is God's divine love in you for me greater than these? Now, when Jesus says, is it greater than these? This could be the brethren that's amongst Peter that he is speaking of. Do you love me more than your brothers? But more importantly than that, this means anything. Peter, do you love me more than anything? And it wasn't just Peter, do you love me more than anything? See, he's speaking here of agape or agapha love, the very divine paramount love of God. Peter, am I your paramount love? Peter, am I your ultimate desire? And the reason Jesus is asking him this, and the reason Jesus is asking us this, is everything is satisfied and perfected in our lives when Jesus is our first love. And that is the truth. Everything is satisfied. Everything is in its absolute order. Everything, praise God, is perfected with Jesus being our first love. And before we go on any further, I want you to understand this. Jesus will never be our first love until we know how first we are to him. Does that make sense? See, we love him because he first loved us. And I need to know his love before I'll really begin to have the capacity of his love to love him with. And isn't that something? Because the Holy Ghost is right around the corner. I love that. Now, Peter, in his response, what he says here is he says, Lord, you know I love you. But this word love, and this is Aramaic that they're speaking here, but this is translated in the Greek. But Peter's love that he tells Jesus he loves him with is the word filio. And filio means I love you as a friend. It's a very strong bond. It's a very wonderful bond. But it is not the love that Jesus was looking for. It wasn't the love that Jesus was asking him. Peter, do you love me as your paramount love? Peter's only response, because Peter could not comprehend what Jesus was saying. All he could say was, oh Lord, I love you as a friend. See, Jesus had called them friends, didn't he? He called them brethren, didn't he? Amen. But Jesus now is getting to something in a greater depth, in a greater height, in a greater length, in a greater breadth, that only the Holy Spirit will reveal to Peter. See, the Holy Spirit, once again, in the Word of God tells us, is the one that sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. The only way we could have this capacity of knowledge, the only way we could have this capacity to love Jesus like this, is with the infilling of the Holy Ghost that came at Pentecost. So, when he says this to Peter, The Lord says, well, feed my lambs, and we'll address the lambs and the sheep here in just a minute. Now, Jesus asks Peter again. He says, Peter, do you love me as the paramount love, as your paramount love? Peter again answers the same way, Lord, I love you as a friend. The third time that Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me? The Lord uses the word filio. He says, Peter, do you love me as a friend? And Peter says, Lord, I love you as a friend. Now, what Jesus is getting at here is he knows our hearts. And Jesus knew how Peter loved him even before he asked him. But this again is not, in a sense, for the Lord. This was for Peter. And it's so beautiful here, so many things. But I'd like to first point out, remember Peter not too long ago, three times he denied the Lord before that cock crowed. Amen? And here in the faithfulness of our God, in front of all of those brethren, the Lord had him to be encouraged three times that he told Jesus, you know I love you. Praise God. Now that's a precious testimony right there in itself, isn't it? But yet the Lord also knew that Peter's love at this time was only a filial, a friendship love. And it couldn't be any more because, again, Peter was not yet filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter had not yet had the love of God shed abroad in his heart. Now, how many times over and over, and how much more clear could it be that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost ever to have the possibility to have the bridal love capacity to love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, there's so many different ways that the Lord encourages this and instructs us in these things. But I think this with Peter is so perfect. It's so clearly, as we began this chapter, remember, Jesus is standing there on the shore and he says, little children, have you caught any fish? Huh? Little infants. See, the Lord sets up exactly, he knows them. And it's not to insult them. The Lord is telling them as it is. He's telling us as it is. And then from calling them little children, he now goes right to Peter specifically, because they were all in this, in a sense, this state. Peter, you love me as a friend, don't you? That's right. And it's a precious thing. But I'm after more. I'm always after more. But see, you can't love me in this agape love, in this divine love, until Pentecost, when you'll have that power from up on high, that wonderful unction of the Holy Ghost, the one who will guide you into all truth, that'll show you who I am, what I want for your life, what I want you to be for me, and not only to instruct you, but the power of the love of God to be performed in you, to grow in you, that you would grow up into that readied wife that would be in the measure, the stature, and the fullness of even myself. Praise be to God. Isn't that amazing? Now, come on. This is what this is, and this is what the Word of God is all about. And it'll go over again as we go on through this study tonight. The Lord wants us to grow up. The Lord does not want us to remain little children. The Song of Solomon says it and states it so perfectly, so beautifully. That Shulamite was of full age. She was of full maturity. She was dazzling. Every part of her body is detailed in its ravishing to the bridegroom. And yet it said, but she had a little sister. But the little sister, even though she could kind of understand a little bit about marriage and want to be a bride, but basically it said little sister had no breasts because she wasn't of age to enter into that. All of the potential, but lacking the maturity. Amen? That's every one of God's children. All of the potential's there. Matter of fact, all the purpose is there, all the provision is there, all the power. It's just, will we apprehend that? Will we take that grace and continue to take that grace and allow the Lord to do these things in our life? But this is an amazing thing, brothers and sisters, because Jesus, again, is after us. And I want you to know this, that even though I say this in a sense for Peter in his heart and his preparing, remember this about the disciples. The disciples are not offered the bridal company. The disciples, as it says, will rule over on the 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. And that will be their place. But there's so much encouragement to us who can be in the bride of Christ in the absolute necessity to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to continue full of the Holy Ghost in the love of Jesus. Now, a little more testimony on this. Can you imagine how much can be here? And we're just even looking at the surface. You never scratch it. Don't think you get too much. But also, the great testimony, the proof of the love of God in us, is that we would desire more than anything for people to know the Word of God. That's when you know you're mature in the Lord. I'm thankful that we can look at the necessity and to the necessity of the brethren. You know, if we can help in certain ways and things of that nature. But that is such a small side note to the emphasis of the Word of God. Know the truth. Timothy, you're taking over for me, Paul. Amen? It wasn't Timothy, learn how to build a lot of houses, learn how to get people clean water, learn how to get them all this medical help. No, it wasn't. You know what he told him? One thing, preach the word. Give them the word of God. And I'm thankful for outreaches and things of that nature. It's wonderful. But if you miss the best part, you've missed it all. You've missed it all. And, you know, God help us to be about the things of God and not about the things of our feeling. But what I want you to notice here, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So what is the Lord telling Peter? Feed the ones that are already saved. Do you hear that? He didn't say, Peter, go out there and preach to everybody in the world. No, he said, Peter, feed my lambs. See, Jesus is after growth. The emphasis is not to go out there and save more souls, but for more growth to ones that are already saved. Now, praise be to God, when you preach the word of God, people are going to get saved. But the emphasis, even to Peter. See, people even miss that a little bit. They think, well, Peter was out there. No, Peter's calling, truly, go out there and preach the word of God to my sheep. We are in the church age, brothers and sisters. We are in the age to grow up into him and do all things. Amen. We are not in the kingdom age yet to preach to every creature. It's the day to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, note here. The very first thing he says is, feed my lambs. The word feed means teach in this case. And the word lambs means just what it is, my little sheep. So the very first instruction Jesus gives to him, after he tells him, Peter, I need you to divinely love me with my love. I know you're not there yet, but you're going to get there because of my faithfulness and my grace. But he tells him and he says, okay, when you receive that love that you're going to get, I'll tell you what, you go out there and you feed my little lambs. You go feed my little sheep. And teach them is what it says. Teach my little sheep. Then the second time he says it here, there's a different word for feed and a different word that he uses. Instead of lambs, he says sheep. Now, in the second time he says feed, it doesn't mean to teach. It means to tend to and nourish, which puts more emphasis on feeding the sheep with the best stuff, nourishing food. See, you can eat food, or you can eat food that really nourishes you. Amen? So what this is again alluding to is Paul's gospel, strong meat. Praise God. Just think about Peter at the end in 2 Peter. What did he say again? Paul. It was Paul. There's things that are hard to be understood. They're hard to be fed. They're hard to chew on, all of those things. But to them that wrestle with the truth, to them that don't want to settle down, to them that don't want to hear this wonderful depth of the gospel of Christ. But even with Peter here, brothers and sisters, and I'll tell you, you remember those studies that we had in 1st and 2nd Peter? The mining of the bridal truth in that? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful to God. You know, Moses even spoke of much bridal truth. He didn't know what he was writing, but I know that those prophets that the Lord told, they wrote those things for us, didn't they? They wrote those things for us, didn't they? Amen? That's what the Word of God says. Just like Daniel, he said, Lord, I want to understand what I'm writing here, because I know there's much more in this than I'm seeing. And the Lord said, no, Daniel, that's not for you to see. That's going to be for those on April 20th here, 2016 at Living Waters Tabernacle. I'm having you write that back then for these folks to see. Praise the Lord. That's the Word of God. That's not just an interpretation. That is the interpretation. That is the Word of God. Know this for yourself. Know how special you are, especially in this day, in this age, and what Christ wants you to hear. This isn't an accident. You've been appointed to hear this tonight. Now, this second time, as he says this here, it's the feed my sheep. So, as I said, it's tending, nourishing, feed them a strong meat. Don't just teach them now. Now get them strong meat. Get them the Word of God. Get them into the depths of the truth. And notice he doesn't say, my lambs, does he? He uses the word sheep. And this word sheep means large sheep, mature animals, emphasizing again more truth to grow, more maturity, more testimony of great love, and the great love in Peter to preach to mature sheep. Amen. This is what this is after. Finally, the third time, teach my mature sheep, lead and guide them. You talk about a call on Peter as the under-shepherd. I'd like you to go over to 1 Peter 5:1-4, and you'll see this encouragement of guiding, providing, and protecting that the Lord does it, but he put this in the heart of Peter. And again, that's 1 Peter 5:1-4. Now this is Peter speaking to the elders. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am I also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Now, again, don't be looking over your shoulder while I wonder who he's speaking to. He's speaking to you. And that's the truth. Know this. You know, we can always say, oh, yeah, well, that's not me. That is you. To whom much is given, much is required by the grace of God, the ministering of the saints. Brothers and sisters, we need to have the heart of, again, in a sense, the under-shepherd of God, in that sense of having the heart that we want people to know the truth, to love the truth, to want the truth. And by the grace of God, it all comes from, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We need to preach the word. Now, going over and let's read, since we're talking about these wonderful encouragements from the under-shepherds. Let's talk about Paul in Acts 20. Look here what he says to the elders at Ephesus as he's encouraging them about the things of God. And in Acts 20, this is what Paul says in verse 27. And here's how he starts it out. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So see, Paul spoke, taught, preached what? All truth. Who's the one that brings all truth to any life? It's the Holy Ghost. Amen? So Paul, we know, was encouraged and filled and full of the Holy Ghost. Don't look at the other guy. That needs to be you too. If this is going to be in your life, this is what's going to have to be there to give you the capacity to be able to know it, to love it, to have the passion for it, and to pursue it, and to press on. Because let me tell you, it's a battle, isn't it? Amen. God's going to prove these that love him. Now he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, amen, and to all the flock. So see, there's no difference here. You need to hear the word of God for yourself, and you need to give the word of God to the flock. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So there it is. It's the word of his grace. Amen? It wasn't, I commend you to this seminary, or I'm going to commend you over to this group of guys, and, you know, they're just going to protect you, and we'll get this organization, and you all, I'm going to commend you to 4 other people so you can be accountable. I commend you to the word of his grace. I commend you to God and the word of his grace. Amen. See, it's the word, isn't it? It's the only thing that's going to be. It's the only thing that is, again, going to give us that unction and truth and love to go on. But know this, that it is the word of his grace. It's to know him. Thanking God, as Paul said, I'm not going to withhold a thing. I'm going to preach you the whole counsel of God. And then, as it even said there, that you know what? There will even be ones of your own selves arising, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Do you know that even Paul said of himself to the Galatians, if I come back here and I preach any other thing than the gospel that I have preached, let me be accursed. Get me out of here. Amen? So see, he wasn't just saying, well, I'm exempt because I'm Paul. He said, no, it's always got to be the grace of God that's with me. And if I preach you any other thing than that which I have preached, let me be accursed. Amen. So see, Paul knew, and that's what he was speaking of there. And he put himself right in there. He said, if I don't go on with the grace of God and in the word of his grace, I won't go on. I'll go over here and start preaching perverse things. And let me tell you something, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You start preaching things apart from the word of his grace, and by the end of the day, I'll tell you what, you'll have a whole lot of nothing. God won't force you. As he said, you know, you can go any way you want, but you go any way but my way, and it's going to be leanness to your soul. So, I believe the emphasis here is desire that God's children hear and grow and are fed the truth. And the only way we can be used to do that is we first must know the gospel. Amen. See, Peter had heard the gospel, but he didn't know the gospel. But he was going to know the gospel because why? Because he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful to God. He was going to be full of the love of God too. And then he was going to be empowered with passion to teach, to be ready to give every man an answer that would inquire about the hope that lies within him. All by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. This is Peter that told Jesus. He said, oh, Jesus, these guys might leave you, but I'm not. I'll die for you. And that's why Peter, he had the biggest awakening of them all, didn't he? Sometimes the ones that run the mouth the most, God's going to say, well, I'll tell you what. I love you a lot, and it's going to take a whole lot of humility to get you looking at me. And this is exactly what happened here. And sounds like my life and your life too. Amen. 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 Praise God. So, I want you to think about this again. Peter was in no wise ready to preach the gospel at this time, was he? He wasn't. He sure thought he was, but he wasn't ready. All of his boldness, all of his strength, all of his devotion to Jesus was gone in just a moment because he didn't have perfect love. He didn't. Didn't have that perfect love. He didn't have that complete love. And that perfect and complete love comes from the Holy Ghost. And when you have that Holy Ghost love, I'll tell you what, it casts out all fear. Praise God. So We thank the Lord for that encouragement to us. But even though Peter wasn't ready because he was fearful and unbelieving, Jesus, because he's just Jesus, he was calling those things which be not as though they were. Amen. Who's living in you? Does he call those things which be not as though they were in you? But see, Jesus saw and rested in the working power of grace that was going to transform Peter in a moment of time. Pentecost was right around the corner when Peter was going to be filled and have the power to preach the word of God. Isn't that sweet? And what a transformation there was, wasn't it? And this conclusion so points us here that only the upper room can accomplish this. Once again, brothers and sisters, the vital necessity to be filled with the Holy Ghost for all the perfect and complete will of God to be performed in us. Because the Holy Ghost is the one that fulfills it all. As the Word of God, and we've said earlier on, he's the one that leads us into all truth. The Holy Ghost is the one that sheds the love of God abroad in our heart. And in that, you'll begin to care and be concerned for souls to be fed the truth. And oh my, what the power of his might can do in us. Amen? Such a precious testimony there of Peter. Now, moving on to verse 19. In verse 19, Jesus begins to tell Peter about the death that he will face. And notice this, as it says there in 19, that his death would glorify God. Just as Lazarus' death glorified God, just as Jesus' death glorified God, just like, praise God, Jesus does. Now, historians tell us that Peter was crucified upside down. There is much writing upon that, that they took Peter and they're going to crucify him. And he said, I don't want to be hung on this tree, but they weren't going to do anything else. And he said, well, if you're going to hang me on this cross, at least crucify me upside down. That's quite a statement of faith, isn't it? Praise God. And I think what a blessing and what a witness all of these disciples, and I want you to hear this, because all of these disciples, they were martyrs, weren't they? And when you really think about these disciples, every one of them deserted Jesus at the time of his crucifixion. They did. They were afraid and they left. And they were gone. After his death, after his resurrection, after his ascension, after the infilling of the Holy Ghost, every single one of those disciples would become a martyr. They were put on a cross upside down, boiled, burned, heads cut off, all these different things. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no way that all of them would have died that way if Jesus and his resurrection were a lie. And that's the truth. That's one of the greatest witnesses we have. Because the testimony of how chicken all of them were. And that they were quick to say, well, take him. You know, we loved you, Lord, but this is too much for us. But then after that transformation, after the infilling of the Holy Ghost, those brothers, I'll tell you what, they weren't going to bend a knee to anybody else but Jesus, were they? Praise the Lord. And I just think, how powerful and truly a type to us. Because, you know, just a couple weeks back we read about Jesus. He showed up and showed the holes in his hands and the holes in his side. They proved Jesus rose through the testimony and they're dying for the truth. Isn't that something? See, they testified to us. They testified to us. Similarly, in a sense, the way that Jesus came and testified to them. Here's the holes in my hand. Here's the hole in my side. Well, I'll tell you what, that's quite a testimony and quite a witness that every one of them would die for him and not deny his name. Praise be to God. Got me thinking about all those men sitting down or getting down on their knees on the shore there as that ISIS devilish group. Put them all down there to cut their heads off and tell them, you go ahead and deny Jesus. Not a one of them. Heard they were singing songs, all of these different things. And you know what? In a moment of time, they were face to face with the one they believed. Praise God. Amen. You better know he's real. But see, this was only something the power of the Holy Ghost could do. But see, one thing John always shows us too, which is very sweet, even in this end here, he's always near Jesus. He doesn't leave him. And I think what a testimony to us, don't follow the other sheep, follow the shepherd. Amen? Follow the shepherd. And that was the disciple that Jesus loved. Matter of fact, I like to say it this way, the disciple that knew that Jesus divinely loved him. Amen? See? That's why John would run around there. He said, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm sure it kind of rubbed a few people wrong, but I think after they grew up a little bit, they said, you know what? That guy understands it. He's got it. It wasn't him running around telling everybody how much he loved Jesus. He said, nope. The greatest testimony I could give to you is to tell you how much Jesus loves me. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? So, we get over here to verse 22 as we close this up. And here, Peter can't help himself, can he? He wants to know, well, you just told me what's going to happen to me. What's going to happen to John? Isn't that something? He said, okay, well, so I'm going to stretch my hands and they're going to take me away? Well, what's going to happen to John? You know, Jesus tells him, well, let me tell you something. If I want John to live forever, or live till I come, John's going to live till I come. So that's why those guys, they went off on that. See, they hear something and don't want to rightfully divide the truth, do they? See, this again shows we need to be able to rightfully divide the truth. Amen? Jesus speaks in parables sometimes and all of these things. But what he's telling them there is also, I'm the resurrection and the life, you know. And I could have it that John wouldn't die till I come. But you know what? John did die. And matter of fact, I should say he went to sleep. Now, John's death, some of the historians say that he was put in a boiling cauldron. Some say that he was released from Patmos and died in Ephesus. Well, you know, it really doesn't matter how he died. I'm just so thankful he lives. And he's with the Lord. But what to take from this as well is, you know what, Jesus can, and Jesus actually will have a company that won't see death, and that's the Philadelphia church. You get all these little things in there? He said, you know what? He don't have to die till I come. What do you think Paul was looking for? Remember? Paul was looking for the Lord to come all the time. Paul wasn't looking to die. He was looking to be translated. And that's how we need to be. But Jesus is also emphasizing to all of us, don't worry about the other guy. How many times do we worry about the other guy? You worrying about my trials? Don't. you don't want to enter into that worry. But you need to be who God made you. And we need to be the part of the body that God has made us. And I'm thanking God that, you know, Lord, I want your desire in my life. I don't want my desire. I know this for a fact. I saw moms and dads' desires in young people. And I'm talking about their natural desire. I have a desire for my sons that they grow up to be the mature men of God that God's intended them to be. Whatever the after effect of that is, that's secondary. But it'll magnify God if he's first and foremost as their paramount love. Amen? See, that's what it's about. We don't need to get all bent out of shape. But I've seen moms and dads even in the meetings and things like that say, well, you know, little Johnny's going to grow up and be a preacher. Well, let me tell you something. You don't know that. And that's sweet. I'm praying that little Johnny will know how to tell somebody about the hope that lies within him. But don't be doing that. It's harmed a lot of lives, and it really has. And we need to know these things. As well, too, brothers and sisters, when God calls us into something, don't try to be somebody else. Don't ever try to think, and I gave you this testimony early on when the Lord called me to be your pastor, praise God for Brother Hill. And I couldn't say enough wonderful things about Christ in him, the hope of glory. What a precious vessel and a treasure. And those that knew him, and just thanks be to God for such a wonderful testimony of the faith and love of Jesus. So tremendous that the likes, I've never seen any greater. But it's not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. But I remember when the Lord called me in early to speak, there was somebody that came to me and said, wow, those are going to be some big shoes to fill. And I remember so quickly the Lord just encouraged my heart so greatly. Well, first of all, I couldn't fill them. Second of all, even more importantly, I wouldn't want to fill them because I've got my pair of shoes. And those are the only pair, by the grace of God, that I can run and run well in. See, if I, you know, my shoes naturally I wear somewhere around a 10 and a half. You know, I start putting on Linda's 7 and my feet going to hurt. I put on Kevin's 18 and I'm going to look like I'm swimming, you know, like I got flippers. But that's the truth of it. Do you see? And it's even more exact than that. Not one of us have the same pair of shoes. Not one of us. Not one of us, if you want to even think of it this way. I got my camel and he stinks just fine. Don't you try to ride him because he's just for me. And that's the same for you. And I thank God. Isn't that wonderful? And that's how it's going to be. And this is what God is encouraging us. So we don't look at the other runners. As we close this, this is such a precious testimony in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And remember, that sin that so easily besets us is just our unbelief. Sin is just whatsoever is not of faith. Amen? And we run well by what? By faith. By faith. Just by believing God. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. We're going to err. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to look right to Romans 8:28, and we know. And we know. And I was even thinking about that. It didn't say, and we believe. Sometimes I don't even have time to believe. I got to know. And you know what knowing is? That's knowing his love. And that's huge. I just know his love. I got to even get past that. I just got that. Even sometimes I start to say, well, do I believe? Do I have faith? You know what? I just know he loves me. Amen. I know he loves me. When I know he loves me, when I embrace that love, I'm telling you, all the believing, all the faith is right there. For everything, praise be to God. And the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And notice that. It wasn't looking at the other runners. It wasn't looking at anything else. It was looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And this is again, Peter, don't be looking at John. Don't be looking at this. Peter, you look at me. You look at me. And then finally here, it's so sweet because all the credibility of John is just the witness of Jesus, isn't it? Isn't that our whole credibility? Just the witness of Jesus? You know, I pray that people know that not we've been with Jesus, that we are with Jesus. And it's not by holding a Bible as you're walking around. It's just that, you know, that girl, that guy, they're just a little different. They're just a little happier than everybody else. You know, they actually might even have more things going wrong in their life. Some very odd things, I'd say, but you know, the oddest thing is there's still a peace. Not only is there a peace, that guy's thanking somebody for this. Can you imagine that? That nut, how dare him? I don't have things happening to me as bad as that guy. But he actually says thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the grace of God, the only way we can witness. Thank you for the grace of God, the only way that we can live the gospel of Christ. Thank you for the grace of God that we trust you, Jesus, that we have confidence in you. And praise God, confidence in that name. And all life is in that name. Amen. And praise be to God, as it says, there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now, you got to think about this again, just as we close this. This is just what John knew that they spoke about Jesus doing there, even while he was here. We're talking Alpha Omega. Now, you think that Jesus is going to run out of things to do in the ages to come? But I'm so thankful, remember this, as John is starting to touch upon and the Holy Ghost will make known. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Praise his name. Well, that's been a sweet journey and I'm thankful to God for it. And I appreciate you greatly. And I'll let you know this, I believe we'll do a couple studies over the next few weeks, but the Lord has laid on my heart, I believe, we're going to go into the book of Revelation. So the Lord been encouraging that after being here in John. I think it's very appropriate, and not that we just get all giddy about end time events, but that we truly begin to look up and to know that our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.